Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and then also turn to the book of Jonah. Jamie Durant wrote in the latest Acts and Facts magazine, quote, "Have you ever experienced the disappointment of changed plans? You carefully arrange the details, anticipate the event, and look forward to the fulfillment of your expectations. But then the long-awaited occasion doesn't happen the way you envisioned. Circumstances get in the way." And would you say that COVID-19 has gotten in the way of a lot of things this year? I feel sorry for a couple who was planning to get married this year and things got in the way. For those that did not have graduation ceremonies and open houses, I drove by one where they were having an open house and it was a drive-through. And they were handing food through the window of the cars that were pulling in. And I thought I could pull in there and get a hot dog. You know, I could give a dollar. But Jamie continues, "In these kinds of situations, my mother, who is an English major, borrowed a phrase from classic literature, the best laid plans. And all of us have had plans that have gone astray. My wife and I were going to be taking a bus tour to the Grand Canyon back in April, I believe it was. And it was postponed, and I was disappointed. But we've all experienced the frustration of having our hopes dashed," unquote. We think about Joseph. He dreamed of great things, yet he ended up in a prison. We think of King David planning to build a glorious temple for his Lord, which sounds like a good plan there in Jerusalem, only to have God say no, that Solomon had been chosen for the task. And how about the main character in today's thoughts, Jonah, who went to great lengths to avoid God's command? Jonah planned not to be in Nineveh. And we will see how that turned out. To be honest, I do not believe any of us plan to have our faith put to the test. And if you would, let's stand together. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 7 through 9. I know we've read these verses the last 4 weeks, but we'll read them again because I believe they are important. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Dear Heavenly Father, as these words were penned many decades ago, Lord, to encourage the believers, Lord, may we be encouraged even when we are having our faith put to the test. May we keep our eyes on you, knowing that if we remain faithful, it brings honor and glory to your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Peter is writing to believers scattered throughout Asia Minor, which is today's Turkey. And some of these were the Apostle Paul's converts. Many were probably in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and had heard Peter's moving sermon where 3,000 were saved and baptized. In this short epistle, Peter refers to suffering 15 times. In chapter 4, verse 12, he used the term, the fiery trial which is to try you. He knew that the Roman Empire would soon begin to persecute Christians. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Who are these readers? What is their spiritual condition? In verse 2, we find elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8 very quickly. According to the foreknowledge of God, God knew, he knows who will accept him as Lord and Savior. Chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He doesn't say that all things are good, just that all things will work together for good. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Don't you love the Lord? And who is this that will try to separate us from his love? Notice, he that spared not or put to the test his own Son. The trial of your faith. May I say this? You're not the first one who has been put to the test. May I say this? That down through the decades and centuries, hundreds, yea, thousands have died for the faith. They've been put to the test. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Christ is the New Testament version of the word Messiah in the Old Testament. Do you have the book of Jonah there? Book of Jonah. It's right after Obadiah, which is after the book of Amos. Begin reading at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Jonah, I have a task for you. And it's going to take great what? Faith. You're going to go to Nineveh and you're going to preach against their sinful ways. For their wickedness is come up before me. Question, has the wickedness of cities of America come up before the Lord? We know that it has. We live in a sinful country. We live in an area, even today, where people are sinful. And he is given a task. Oh, that the trial of your faith, where you work, with whom you live, the neighborhood in which you are living. We need to remain faithful to the Lord. In verse 3, we find, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus. Now, wait a minute. He's not going in the right direction. Most believe that Tarsus is either another name for Spain or it was in Spain. He's going to take a ship and he's going to take a cruise. God said, go to Nineveh. Did he need to take a cruise to get to Nineveh? No. He just had to go north. And yet we find that he decides to go in a different direction. But the Lord sent out a great wind or a storm. Verses 5 through 7, we find that the storm comes and they lighten the load. In other words, they're throwing things overboard. And then, believe it or not, Jonah, who is running from God, is told by the captain, pray to your God. That's kind of rough, isn't it? If you're running from God, how do you pray to God? Verse 8, then said they unto him, that being Jonah, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I mean, he is declaring this testimony. I'm running from the God of the universe. He made the heavens and he made the dry land and I'm running from him. Ooh, that doesn't sound very smart. Why would you do this? Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. The sailors are afraid. My dad says that when he left Washington State to go to Korea back when during the Korean conflict, and here were all these soldiers on this ship, and it's heading in the western direction, and they came to a storm, or the storm came to them. And he said he had never known that a ship could go down and twist at the same time. And the next thing you know, the back end is down, and it's twisting the other way. And he said the soldiers were at the side. They weren't sightseeing, were they? What were the soldiers doing? Puking out their guts. And what were the sailors doing? The Navy men, what were they doing? Laughing. These sailors, they've been through storms. And this is a storm they had never encountered. And they're fearful and they're praying to their gods. And now, what are they going to do? Verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Jonah was so determined not to go to Nineveh that he was willing to have the sailors throw him overboard. Would you say that was quite a determination? He said, kill me. I would rather have you kill me than have to go to Nineveh. Because he knew the reputation of the Assyrian army. Now, we've already talked about the fact today, Dr. Mark, that the dung of a dove was sold so that people could eat it. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? Yes? No. How would you like to be the one that had to go out and collect the dung? Wow. And I've talked about the fact that my dad was there on a ship heading to Korea, and the men were puking out their guts. But I'm going to tell you a few things about the Assyrian army. See, the Assyrian army decided that we are going to make these people think twice before going up against us. Women and children, if not burned at the stake, would be sold into slavery. You say, well, that's not so bad. Men that had been killed in battle would have their heads removed, and they would make pyramids of them and put them by the road. You say, well, that's not so bad. But captured men, they would take and they would reach into their mouth and rip out their tongue. That doesn't sound too good, does it? Or they would take a rod and shove it up under their rib cage and put the other end in the ground and let them hang suspended above the ground. What would that spear do that was under their rib cage? It would move up, creating great pain. See, their army was cruel. And Jonah knew someday they're going to come against Israel, this army that is cruel. And I do not want to warn these people that they need to repent. Because I know that if I tell them to repent and they repent, that God will forgive them. Aren't you glad that God forgave you of your sins? Yes. See, our Lord is merciful, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. At the trial of your faith, Jonah, trust the Lord. The Lord said, do this. And like so many, he said, no, I won't. Because the Lord has a plan for all of us to be used as a witness and a testimony for him. The Lord knew that thousands of children would have suffered due to their elders' wickedness. Jesus said that we are to have the faith of a what? Of a child. Friday, Pastor Stephen and I went over and visited Irma Sevier. And we had taken her some mission letters and the Baptist bread, and she gave us offerings, both from her and Fred, and mission giving. And Irma said, can you imagine what could be done for missions if God's people would be willing to give to the cause of world evangelism, unquote. See, God puts our faith to the test when he tells us to send forth the gospel message. So how can the gospel message go forth unless we send it? See, we have a missionary coming desiring to go to Greenland. I'll be honest with you, Brother Watke, I've never known of a missionary going to Greenland. Do you think people in Greenland need to know the gospel story? Yes. What European country has control of Greenland? Denmark. Does Denmark have religion? Of course they do. But like so many European nations, the religion is something of the past. One of the missionaries coming, Brother Burdine, who has been a pastor in Ohio for many years and has felt the call of God upon his life to go to Nicaragua to take the gospel. You think that's important to go to Nicaragua? Brother Hawkins will be here. And used to be, we would have a Hawkins at every mission conference. There was the dad, and he had three sons, and there was all these one that was on furlough. And he's coming. Well, wouldn't you think after 30 or 40 or 50 years of the Hawkins being in Brazil, they wouldn't need to be need any more missionaries? No, they still need it. In fact, if all our mission budget went to Brazilian missionaries, it wouldn't be enough. They need the gospel. The Owens are coming. Now, we already support Brother Owens' brother in Argentina, and he's coming because he's going to Argentina. Do people in Argentina need the gospel? Absolutely. And so the Lord puts our faith to the test and says, will you give so others can go? Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Oh, he had thought, I know how to get out of this. I'll commit suicide. Now, he may have not said that word, but that's what he was thinking. I don't want to be bothered. I've often wondered about someone who has jumped off a bridge or off the 32nd floor of an office building wanting to commit suicide. I wonder how long before they were into their fall that they said, this wasn't too good. This was not a good thing. I wonder how long it was before Jonah wished he had gone to Nineveh instead of being thrown into the sea and then being swallowed by this great fish. Now you say, Pastor Paul, do you really believe he was swallowed by a fish? Absolutely. It says here that the Lord had prepared. I mean, it was a special fish, a great fish, to swallow up Jonah. Are you glad for second chances? I'm glad for second chances. I'm glad that our God is merciful. Most people are not saved the first time they hear the gospel message. They need to hear it 2 or 5 or 30 times before they finally say, yes, Lord. But for 3 days and three nights, he was in this fish. Do you think it smelled? Fish have an odor to them, don't you think? You ever been around dead fish? Not a pleasant smell. Here we have him inside. In verse 10 of chapter 2 says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah wouldn't listen, but the great fish was smart enough to listen, right? It vomited out Jonah. Boy, we've got a lot of nasty subjects this morning. Do you think that he had an odor when he was up on the dry land? I think so. I don't know that he took time to wash. But I do know this, that he hastened to get to Nineveh, because he had a message to preach. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days journey. Now, some have debated that that mean the city was 3 days away from him, or was the city so big that he was preaching this sermon for 3 days within the city? Now, you can decide which you want. But verse 4 says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, he has gone to this city, a Syrian city. What is Jonah by nationality? He's a Hebrew. He's a Jew. He probably looks terrible. He's been in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. I don't know if the stomach acids had begun to work. I don't know. What do you think? And he probably came out looking palish. I've seen pictures where he was still covered with seaweed. I don't think so. But I'm sure that he didn't look really healthy. And here's this man walking through the city, crying out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And that's what he said. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. Peter, to his audience on the day of Pentecost, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again and again, we find in the New Testament the need to repent. And as Jonah walked through this city, he is declaring the need to repent. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I can see Jonah walking through this city that he had was determined not to visit. And I think he's glad that he can say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In fact, we read in chapter 4 that he went outside the city to watch the destruction of the city. But then he was upset because the people of Nineveh repented. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know of too many Baptist preachers that get upset when somebody comes to the altar. I don't know too many of them that get upset when someone repents and gets their lives right. But Jonah is going to be bothered by this because he was not right with God. You think it's important to be right with God? Let me say this. The only way we can be a Christian is to be right with God. Now, we can be born again. And we can have our home in heaven. But are we a Christian? Are we Christ-like? John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember the story of Moses there at the Red Sea putting his staff out over the sea, and the sea divided, and the children of Israel went over on dry ground? What did the Egyptian army do? Stop at the Red Sea and say, oh, goodbye. What'd they do? They went after them. They went across on the dry ground. And as they were coming towards them on the other side, Moses put out his staff and the sea came back. And all the Egyptian army drowned. Do you think the Lord did a happy dance over those dead Egyptian soldiers? Or do you think it grieved him to the heart? that these had died. See, we look at people differently than God does because God sees their eternal souls. He sees their need to come to Him. Where oftentimes we say, well, these people are, they can be saved, but not these. These people are too nasty, or these people are not right. Yet God said to Jonah, go, for it is important. In the book of Romans, we find Paul saying that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In conclusion, 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Earlier in the month, Rudy went out and did some hunting and came back with a deer. And he brought the liver to us, and Donna cooked the liver for Casey. You know who Casey is? Yes. He gets to smell that thing cooking for whatever length of time. What do you think he does when Donna stands there with a piece of liver? He goes nuts. He would do anything for liver. Oh, he does it. I said earlier, the happy dance. Oh, feet are just going in seven directions. Because he loves that liver. Because he could smell it. And he knows there's more. He just knows. I don't know how he knows, but there's more, isn't it? I mean, you haven't given it all to him. Yes. Can I say this? Do you look forward to being with Jesus? Yes? You excited about it? The book of Revelation tells us that when we get to heaven, that the Lord is going to wipe away our tears. Why would there be tears in heaven? Well, I think there's going to be tears of joy. Yes? There's going to be tears of joy. But you know there are going to be tears because of those who aren't there. Who aren't there. Can you think of somebody in your family right now that you know if they were to die today, they wouldn't be there? Are you living a life that honors the Lord so that they see you, they know without a shadow of a doubt there's something different about you? Because there are going to be people there, that aren't there, that you could have influenced. Family members, friends. Are you offering them the greatest gift in all the universe? Because it is the greatest gift, isn't it? The gift of God, that of salvation. The joy of our salvation is exciting. We should be concerned. Sons, daughters, parents, siblings, grandchildren. Do you pray for that one that is lost? We have a lost grandchild. Well, one that's still young, but we have one. Is he 20 now? That doesn't know the Lord. It's a burden. I've talked to him. And that's all you can do. Now we're just praying for him. How about you? Do you have someone that you need to pray for today? We're going to have our invitation in just a moment. Pastor Stephen's going to come and lead us in Just As I Am. that maybe you'd like to come this morning and pray for that loved one that you know doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Oh, they may have had religion. I'm not asking do they have religion. I'm asking do they know Christ as their Savior. You can come and sit on the front pew and pray here. The need is great. Shall we stand together? 375 is our song of invitation. You don't even have to wait for the song to begin. You can come and pray even now, asking the Lord to give you an opportunity to be a testimony to that son, that daughter, that mother, that father, that brother, that sister, that favorite aunt or uncle, a cousin. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now at this invitation time, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you, and that when you put our faith to the test, may we be right in answering it in a proper way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.